got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is
Cold Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can go do literally anything else with your time.
And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got a Go Touch Grass Patreon with tons more content weekly, access to our Discord community, and our spinoff series, Search History. We go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. This week, I updated Elise on the Shannon Sharp recent lawsuit settlement for his hashtag allegations.
Yes.
And what it means for our culture and how Shannon Sharp might be one of the stupidest people we've ever heard of in our lives.
Millie floats this theory during the episode that resonated with a lot of people that, like, there are infinite universes and Shannon Sharp is making the wrong decision in every single one of them.
Like, there's infinite possibilities in a moment. Anything could happen, but Shannon Sharp will choose the worst thing to do. Every time.
At every turn. And guys, don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love your reviews. We always need more of them. But the best review you can possibly give us is to tell your friends about the show. Tag us in a story. We will repost it. You know we're online.
And speaking of being online, the Go Touch Grass has a YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And we make full video episodes every Saturday with extra funny moments. I'm in there. I'm adding all kinds of stuff that gets us copyright strikes. But speaking of strikes, we also have a website.
We do.
That's our new announcement. Mm-hmm. We have gotouchgrasspodcast.com.
Wow.
And we'll be sharing our tour dates soon.
Soon.
And we'll have all of our merch and lots of photos and fun stuff there. So just check it out and, you know, say hi on our little website.
Yeah, it's going to be the place for all things Go Touch Grass online.
Yes.
And now we are so excited for our guest today. We have a real one in studio with us today. She is an incredible musician and comedian who you've seen in Rolling Stone, and she's on tour right now. So please welcome into your ears, Charlene Kay.
Woo! Give me up for myself.
I love it. I love the energy.
Gas me up.
Yeah.
Yes.
For anyone watching the YouTube, Charlene's got a great outfit.
She's got a great outfit.
She's always got a great fit.
With a winged liner that's complimentary.
Mm-hmm.
She's giving L-E-W-K-S.
Luke. It's happening. Yeah.
That it looks like, Charlene, let me continue to hype you up.
Mm-hmm.
You really popped off online with the video Every Taylor Swift Song, which currently has 23.2 million views on Instagram.
I looked this morning.
Yeah. You've since done every Ariana Grande song, every Billie Eilish song, Dua Lipa, Charlie XCX, and more. You also have a popular video out right now where you sing about all the comments you get saying how you look like Bobby Lee. Damn, dude, that's rough. Have you heard from any of the famous people that you have sung about? Do you know if your videos made it to them? You know if they're a little butthurt about it, if they like it, if they...
Bobby Lee should be happy.
I know. I shockingly...
You don't look like Bobby Lee.
Oh, thank you. That's because I'm Awkwafina.
Well, I wasn't going to say it. But now that we're on the topic.
Okay. The only one who's commented is Chapel Roan.
Oh!
Wow.
She's a fucking real one. She commented saying, yes, you get it, with like 40 sparkly heart emojis.
Wow. Incredible.
And I found out about it because people were commenting on her commenting before I saw hers. And they were like, the queen commented. And I was like, what? And I like just scrolled and it was her.
That's really sick. That's the person that I would expect to
She's online.
She's exactly online.
Yeah.
And she's so recently very famous that I feel like she is still looking at stuff and excited by stuff.
Yeah.
She has a good sense of humor. Because have you done Doja Cat?
No,
because Doja Cat's
rules. I can only do white girls.
Is that a thing? I feel like, yeah, I'm like, I don't know. You could do Asians too.
That's true. Yeah.
Asian pop stars.
They're Asian. Yeah.
Yeah. You could do Olivia Rodrigo.
Absolutely.
Have you done?
Yeah, no, like, I haven't done her. Okay. Yet. Well, wait, what would your every Doja Cat song be?
Well,
it'd just be, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's because
she
raps.
She sings.
Yeah.
It's like getting in the club. Yeah. My big fat ass. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
But I would say that she would is someone that we've covered in the past.
Mm-hmm.
She is online, but she wouldn't have a good personality about it. Like, she wouldn't take it in jest.
No, she hates her fans.
Because she's a serious artist.
Yeah.
But I would say that she is online. And
she would see it.
She would definitely see it, probably before Chapel.
Yeah. Wait, I have a really funny Doja Cat story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Should we go into
it
now?
Absolutely.
Yes, listen. We need it.
Happy to hear. Okay.
So the other night, I dreamt that my boyfriend and Doja Cat were married.
Okay.
And the only reason that he and I were together was because he and Doja Cat were in an open marriage.
Okay.
And like for the 6 months or whatever that we've been together, I had to find out that they were married because of a People magazine article that I read.
Wow.
Which featured both of them posed, but like with this picture by like Annie Leibovitz, and they're like in their sexy Beverly Hills home, like posing like this, and the headline was, "We've decided to close our relationship and focus on each other."
Oh, and that's how you found out you got dumped.
You get in
your dream.
And I texted him and I was like, "How could you do this?" And he's like, "What are you talking about?" And I was like, "You were with Doja Cat this whole time."
And he's like, "What the fuck?"
He's like, "I don't even know who Doja Cat is." Like,
liar. Now he's lying. Now he's lying. And now it's suspect and I don't trust him.
Yeah.
And we should set his house on fire.
I'm like, what does that say about me that I'm like, is my subconscious like jealous that my man's gonna leave me for Doja Cat?
Cat's one of those people where it's like, I feel like your subconscious has really high confidence because like it would take Doja Cat for your man to leave you, which is pretty hot. Like, she's very hot and very rich. So
she's
like,
very hot and very rich.
If someone left you for
Doja
Cat,
one of those things.
Well, exactly. But if someone left me for Doja Cat, I'd be like, I mean, this sucks, but I get it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But, you know, it's not like you're in your subconscious. Someone's leaving you for someone really ugly and nasty and mean and poor like Laura Loomer.
It could be worse. He could be leaving me for Sydney Sweeney.
We'll be we will be discussing Miss Sweeney.
Yes.
At a later point.
Yes.
But first.
Yes.
I got Charlene. Okay. Your current career is so impressive.
Thank you, baby.
You do so much. I loved your one-woman show, Tiger Daughter. Such a wonderful, wonderful show. But it was in that show that I realized that you were a part of something else that I deeply loved. You were a part of something, a piece of what I would consider internet history.
For you,
internet lore. For millions of people. They still tour to this day. And as always, before I ask this question, fuck J.K. Rowling forever. Yeah. Terrible, terrible woman, Graswell Hall of Fame. But you were in the band for Star Kids, a Harry Potter musical, which is, oh God, how do I even describe it? It was a parody Harry Potter musical that was put on, is it Boston College? What college?
No, it was University of Michigan.
University of Michigan.
Yeah, that's where I went.
University of Michigan.
Everybody.
Darren Criss's Harry Potter. I have such a distinct memory of finding out about the existence of the YouTube video of like the first whatever performances of it and sitting in my family computer room because we're dating back to when the computer had a room and it 100%. Lived in there.
Millennial, recognized millennial.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I watched, it was in like six parts and I watched every single one, jaw on the floor. I could sing the entire opening number. You have talked about in your stand-up that as a result of being part of Harry Potter musical, you have been featured in horny fan fictions on Tumblr.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You've appeared. Yeah. That's
like
an honor.
Like drawn or like what do they do? Or are they just like writing?
It was literally Tumblr fan fiction in 2012 written by virgins.
Yeah.
And so
as it often is.
I feel like,
I was right when I was writing fan fiction. Yeah. I was very much a virgin.
Exactly.
Did you do write it?
You know what? I was a little before 2012. I will say 2012. I had graduated from college. So
likely excuse.
No. At least has been. Well, this is what I love to tell people so that people can contextualize like the very like real place that Harry Potter has in Elise's heart.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, not J.K. Rowling.
Yes.
Is that Elise did write, my favorite fact is that Elise did write fan fiction. She rewrote all of Goblet
the fifth
of
one.
Fire.
Order of the Phoenix.
Order okay. of the Phoenix.
Oh,
and
my
then
God.
She made herself in it
yep.
where everyone wanted to date her yep. instead of Hermione. She yep. was like Hermione, but hotter. So yep. that's what I'm saying. You got to let her know that, listen,
it's
you
serious.
Respect her as comedian and peers now.
Well, that's how we connected because yeah. I went to your show, which
Rose of Your Teenage Self,
and I saw all of your Harry Potter, like Draco Malfoy, like sexy drawings and mm-hmm. stuff. And I was like, I feel like we're the same.
Yes. And I will say that you held back on the reveal. You let me come to your show and realize in real time that you were in Harry Potter musical. And I genuinely, I remember I was like sitting close to the front and I was like, like,
yeah. Someone at Joe's Pub was like, there, a woman came in.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, someone's having kind of a distracting
orgasm in the front row.
I mean, listen,
is she okay?
You should be in Edinburgh with those reviews.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yes.
Came so hard.
Yeah,
five
and then
stars.
Maybe JK yeah. will come.
Yeah, I mean, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Get her out of her castle, back with the people.
Also, out of that mold you have.
I know. Get her away from the black mold.
Too much asbestos in there. Yeah.
Much asbestos.
But what is it like to be part of something that is like internet lore at this point? Like StarKid, I still get served StarKid videos. I still see like Harry Potter musical comes up all the time. It's had a longevity.
Well, it's so funny because when I started to tour with them and, for the record, I wasn't playing in the band no. in the actual captured YouTube. I toured with them as their guitarist and I opened for them with my own music.
That's awesome.
And that was my first ever big tour. When I was 24, I was waiting tables and I was like playing small gigs in New York. And then Dylan Saunders called me and he was like, hey, would you want to play guitar for us? Like StarKid it clearly has enough of a following online to tour this thing. And would you want to come? And I was like, yes, yes, absolutely, yes. And so we had two buses and we went all over the country for 5 weeks. And did you come to any of the shows?
No, I never saw it live, which is so sad to me.
That's okay. Because
I would have, I think I like didn't understand how. Like I thought that I was like, well, it was already performed and this is the YouTube. Like I didn't, which is such a funny like old internet thing. Like I didn't know how to get connected to that StarKid was touring
yeah.
and doing all of these things. I just knew that the YouTube video existed and I watched it 100 gazillion times.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's also like what the internet has perfected in the past like 10, 20 years is like mm-hmm. that you can click on the video of something that you like and go to the band's profile and the band has the link. Like before it was yeah. like a freaking art that you had to like really be up and follow the right people to even know someone's touring. It was hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
It's true. And like this was before social media really. Like we would go on Twitter to see pictures from the show afterwards
yeah.
that people had posted. Like this was pre-Instagram, which is insane. And so it was the first time I ever performed in front of more than 50 people. And it was such like a crash course in performing and in fandom and in like no like lack of boundaries with fans
yeah.
and stuff like that. And
yeah.
it was like, but and I look back on it and it taught me so much of what I wanted and like the type of career that I wanted to have. And like just to be doing that with people that I had known for such a long time was such a gift because
yeah.
we were all sort of like in this together, like what is going on? Everyone got famous so fast and
yeah.
we had no idea like how to navigate this. And like people would come to the VIP table and just have the craziest fan gifts. Like it was like drawings and like Barbie dolls that were like made to look exactly like Joey Richter. And like one girl faked a seizure and was like, she fainted.
Okay, that was me.
So
that was Elise.
Okay, sorry, I lied. I did go to
Elise,
the show.
Why are you revealing that?
Pretend to have medical emergency.
You heard it here.
I don't want to push Elise out of the seizure closet, but I was
Sounds
waiting
like she pushed herself out of the
yeah.
closet.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then, well, I did write the
that's
fan fiction
you
about
said you.
You
never came to
yeah.
the shows. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. That's why she said, because mm-hmm. In many states, she's banned from the show.
Yes,
so.
There's a restraining order
that
we can't
so
talk about.
Crazy that you guys weren't even, just to contextualize that, to like, it's just crazy that you, all y'all did was basically fan fiction yourself.
Yeah.
You were so uncomfortable with the fans of the fan fiction. I can't imagine what these child stars with Daniel, like
mm-hmm.
what they probably still are doing like now, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, the dudes got the brunt of it because they were like, They were there.
The dudes in
One Direction. Yeah. It was like Joe, Darren, and like Brian Holden. Like those dudes were like, they were there. Jesus Christ.
And I also, it's like I watched this and I never connected it to other information. It was like not till years later that I was like, wait, Darren Criss is Harry and Harry Potter musical, and it like all absorbed together.
That must have been
and
a crazy
like,
moment
oh
for you.
Oh my God, that was Darren Criss.
Yeah.
And he's very cute. He's got like the curly hair and the glass. Like he's like very in vogue too. Mm-hmm. I feel like he has like a Seth Cohen-y like energy. So it was right at that peak of like, he has an indie boy look and he's in his little Potter tie. And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but going back to the fan fiction, like it was so funny because we would get these tweets after the shows that was like hashtag new work and they would like tag me and I would click on the link. And it was there was one that was a threesome between me, Darren and Chris Colfer from Glee.
Can you imagine?
Oh, Chris. OK, so how do you feel about that? Would you say it on camera now? No. Look into the camera.
I'm sorry. Darren is like my brother. I can't.
I'm kidding.
I'm like, that's you're not like, going to stop
what's
anybody.
The problem?
I'm like, you think that's stopping Tumblr?
You're like, I'm not hearing anything weird about that.
Yeah, I'm like, that is the root of most fans.
Yeah. But it was so crazy because it was like so badly written. And it was like, it was
so
written by
someone
who doesn't know how sex works. And so it was like, she put her, like the anatomy was all wrong. It was like, she put her hand on his chest. He put his toes around her neck. She put his thigh over her abdomen. I was like, when is the sex happening?
Yeah, well,
is any
the
part
thigh
of this
over goes
sexy?
Over the titty,
not even titty. Like it was like it was just like non-sexual body parts like being draped over another. It was just like a game of Twister. It was not leading to anything. There's no tension.
Yeah, you're like, you should have put me with these two guys instead and had me this and you. That's funny. If you sent back an email with notes and critique,
I know. I'm like, yeah, but Dobby and Hagrid, come on.
Yeah. if you've said it, it exists somewhere. Someone has written a Dobby, Hagrid, Charlene.
Yeah.
But I do think it speaks to like the depths of the fandom that you as the guitarist on tour are making it into that. Like they're like, and then, of course, we're going to add Charlene into the picture.
Yeah,
and
it was like, remember Clark, who played keys in the band? Yes. So, like, there's so many people that are part of the fandom, like the StarKid Cinematic Universe. And people will, like, draw us. You know, they, like, put all of us in these, like, anime versions of ourselves and put it online, like, fucking. And it's just like, you know.
Yeah. It's like, it's like great. That. I recently got a comment on a character video that I did and someone said, I mean, this is the highest compliment, but this reminds me of StarKid. And I responded and I was like, I take that as the highest compliment.
You're like,
compliment.
That was what I was raised on.
And I would take it no other way.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine how it would not be taken away.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to something that was not taken the right way, maybe taken as it was intended, we'll decide. We are now going to get into the discourse. Charlene, the discourse is our segment where we talk through something everybody's chatting about online.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You already invoked
it. Oh, okay, okay.
In a way.
Yeah.
Because today we are disgusting. Disgusting. But yeah,
we are
disgusting. Today we
it's
are disgusting.
Hot outside.
We are disgusting.
We talked about Harry Potter musicals for
and
40
porn
minutes.
Stuff,
and
like,
porn stuff,
like in a horny way. And then what we're getting into now is also disgusting in its own way. So today we are disgusting. Sydney Sweeney's Good Jeans American Eagle ad. Are you guys familiar with this going into the discussion already?
Yeah.
Yeah. This made it pretty viral to the point where it's like not a niche story, I feel, at this point.
No. And you know who's happy about it? The Coldplay Kiss Cam couple.
No one's
been more happy about a
They're
jeans
like, oh, thank God. There's something
than,
else.
Than the guy, Andy Byron. But we remember your name.
Yeah, no, yeah. We're going to keep bringing
disgrace.
That up so no one forgets.
Exactly. We remember here at Go
remember.
Touch Grass Pod. We will never forget the Coldplay Kiss
we'll
Cam.
We'll never
forget. So we're going to have every episode.
We're going to every episode. It's like, it's been 10 days since the Coldplay Kiss Cam. It's been 20 days.
Since the Coldplay Kiss Cam. We could add that to our website.
Yeah.
We could add to our website how many days it's been since the Coldplay kiss cam.
We'll get sued. If he's trying to sue Coldplay,
he's trying to sue
Never
Coldplay.
Forget.
Then he'll sue us and he'll get all $2 on Go Touch Grass LLC.
Honestly, if he wants to do for us what he did for Astronomer, he's welcome to do that.
That's true. And then we'll get
Gwyneth
Paltrow to talk about our thing.
Yeah, she'll talk about Go Touch Grass.
Let's talk about these ugly ass jeans that make her ass look flat.
Okay,
ironically.
Yes.
Let's go.
Let's talk about it.
So, like, I have good jeans. I'm like, girl, where's your
where's your ass though? Where's your ass?
But that's Republican. I'm just gonna say, and I'm not gonna unpack it. Big titty, small ass.
That's Republican. Yeah. You know what? Mm-hmm. I'll say that as well. Okay, you guys are familiar, but on the pod we like to break things down for people who are coming in cold. So I'm just gonna do just the briefest background. Sydney Sweeney is a 27-year-old actress known for breakout roles in Handmaid's Tale, White Lotus, and most notably, she plays Cassie in Euphoria. If you've ever seen the meme of the blonde woman yelling, "I've never, ever been happier," that's Sydney Sweeney. You can see from her IMDb, she's an accomplished actress. She's been in a lot of things. But her secondary claim to fame is that she is very sexy in a super Americana way that Millie just elaborated on. Blonde hair, blue eyes, big boobs.
Yeah, I would say Americana, they don't call them boobs. They call them knockers.
Yeah, huge knockers.
Huge knockers. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's got a blonde bombshell thing that she's doing. But there was, I think what's important for us to remember as we talk, discuss this, is that there were always two paths before Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
And she could have gone a prestige path if she so chose.
Yeah.
And she has instead chosen kind of this other thing.
Well, she started off, like, all those projects are really interesting, right? Handmaid's Tale, feminist, about, like, the patriarchy's ultimate goal, Euphoria, all these things. And then, yeah, so it's like she could have. And she also produced Anyone But You.
Oh, yeah. Anyone But You is the rom-com she did with Glenn
Powell. And they made a lot of money, so.
And then she also did this movie, this, like, scary nun movie called Immaculate.
Oh, yeah. She picks interesting projects and does interesting things. But also, there's another side of her who does a lot of sponsored content that's for crazy shit.
Yes. And she also does have, like, a biopic that's coming out where she's going to play a wrestler. And it seems like this is her. I don't know if it's like it has an Oscar Beatty vibe to it because she, like, is quote unquote ugly in it. She, like, gained weight and has short hair in it. And she's not titties forward in the way that she often is.
Charlene's face.
I guess I will just describe some of her projects as titties forward.
And you know what?
That's not a sin.
It's America. It's not illegal yet.
Did either of you see Anyone But You, the rom-com?
I did.
I did. And I will say there are a large number of GoPro shots from above so that you can, like, see her titties from the sky.
No, okay. I watched it on a plane. So I had my college reunion in Orange County, and I was in Orlando dropping off my dog. I took Orlando to Salt Lake City, Salt Lake City to the Orange County airport. Orlando to Salt Lake City, full of Mormons. I'm watching Anyone But You next to this guy who's, they're all coming back from their mission in Latin America. So they spent 2 years in Latin America. This guy's reading the Bible and watching Mormon YouTube. And I'm watching Anyone But You, and there's a lot of nudity and fucking in that movie. It's a good, hot, interesting rom-com.
Yeah.
And it's in Australia, and they're just fucking and sucking all whatever. This guy was glancing so much. He was, like, trying to look at the Bible and looking at Sydney Sweeney's titties. And then I'm titty four. I feel bad for this guy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I feel like that is the dichotomy of Sydney Sweeney. She's like, you want to look at the Bible and you also want to look at her titties. That's like kind of what she's
and
offering.
And then that's American for you.
And that's American for you. Okay. So to go deeper, Sydney Sweeney is also what we would call on the podcast a discourse inducer, someone who, like, creates conversation online in general, partially because she does have this kind of, like, feels like an old school bombshell image that you don't see as much in Hollywood anymore. She also previously was at the center of controversy in August 2022 when she shared Instagram photos from her mother's 60th birthday party, which featured guests wearing what appeared to be MAGA hats. There was a guy in a Blue Lives Matter shirt. Several guests reportedly wore caps that read Make 60 Great Again. So it was like a MAGA whatever. At the time, Sydney Sweeney responded, calling it an innocent family celebration and telling people to stop making assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember at the time, it's like, if you look at the pictures, it seems like it was like a cowboy themed party. I remember being like on the fence at the time because I was like, I have been at a family reunion where a cousin that I had never met before was wearing a shirt. So it was a shirt of Donald Trump opening up his own shirt to reveal that he's Superman. So it was kind of a shirt of
any
a
reaction
shirt
to that,
Charlene?
No, that's crazy.
So I was like, well, I could have been photographed at a family reunion next to that shirt.
Yeah, I think like, I don't even know if she would release it or she was like, in the background of a cousin's, like,
yeah.
She didn't even post it herself. It got leaked or something.
Yeah,
too.
It was like she was just photographed. I think she's like in a photo
with someone,
and then someone in the background has a Blue Lives Matter thing. So at that time, I was like,
plausible deniability.
Well, so it's if you can play both sides like Benson Boone, then it only helps your career.
Well,
yeah.
You know, Benson Boone in what way?
Like, he's like a sexy baiting? Republican. Like,
yeah.
he's a Mormon dude who's like trying to be super sexy.
I think he's technically ex-Mormon, but he's designed to appeal to Mormons still.
Because he can't be wearing those tight-ass jumpsuits with the long underwear, can he? I don't know.
I mean, that's... I have a lot of questions about the special underwear.
Yeah.
I've Googled it. I think Benson Boone's thing is that he used to be Mormon.
Yeah.
But is not practicing Mormon anymore, hence not needing to wear the underwear. But he gives Mormon and is kind of targeted at Mormons in his way.
Mm-hmm. Well,
anyway, Republican media. At the end of the day, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Is very Republican media figures. So, okay, Sydney Sweeney has that controversy in her past. Put a pin in that. Just remember that she did that. Also in 2022, this is where she kind of started to get this reputation for, like, she'll do ads for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So she did this kind of, like, semi-famous interview in The Hollywood Reporter where she basically said, if I just acted, I wouldn't be able to afford my life in L.A. I take deals because I have to. If I wanted to take a six-month break, I don't have the income to cover that. I don't have someone supporting me. I take deals because I have to. So she basically put out this idea that she's like, I accept all these Spawn agreements because I'm not making as much as an actor as you would think. And I need it to fund my lifestyle. And it went semi-viral because this was like a little ahead of the strikes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of part of that discourse of like, wow, someone on a show like Euphoria who's this famous still feels like financially insecure enough that she needs to be in every commercial that's offered to her.
Yeah, and I think it really did bring up like a pay transparency in terms of like if Euphoria, I mean, I don't know because HBO, but HBO's stuff gets syndicated. I don't know, but like before with residuals, actors could make more money. If the show was super popular, they'd make money forever and they'd always be able to maintain. But like, someone like Sydney Sweeney, even if she's not in anything, still has a publicist, stylist. She has to go appear in things, whatever, like, and keep up at least an apartment or a home that's safe and secure for her in Los Angeles. So that's expensive. So
yeah.
So this sparked a conversation about, like, what does it mean to be famous today?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A discourse inducer. Yeah.
That's the thing. So this kicked off a bunch of brand deals that she's done. She's done Laneige skincare, Keratice hair care. These are all like brands that I've never actually pronounced out loud. So
yeah,
I'm like Laneige.
But they're like pretty big.
Yeah, but huge. Yeah.
Huge.
She did Parade lingerie. She basically gets this rep that like if you ask her and pay her price, she will do Spawn for
you. Yeah, she's not like distinguishing like maybe the TV show.
Yes. And so then in May of this year, she induced discourse yet again when she partnered with Dr. Squatch Soap to release Sydney Sweeney's Bathwater Bliss, which is soap that is made from her bathwater. Charlene, do you think that you could sell soap made of your bathwater to Star Kids fans?
Yeah. I think there's a contingent of weird white dudes who would buy that.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know you have the option.
Yeah.
Charlene's bathwater bliss.
Totally.
Squeaky clean Charlene's bathwater bliss.
You know, like, there are some there's some creeps out there. Like, it's nice to, like, get more recognition for my work. And also, like, it comes hand in hand with more weirdness. Yeah. And every once in a while, I get, like, creepy DMs and, like, creepy people in the industry who don't have professional boundaries and, like, hit on me and want to, like, take me out and stuff like that. And I'm just like, you're a producer for an event that I'm doing. Like, we don't have an organic rapport.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have to just say up front, oh, I have a boyfriend. Like, yeah. It shouldn't have to be
like
that.
Well, your boyfriend's cheating on you with Doja.
Yeah, that's true. And everyone saw that article.
Yeah, and everyone saw the article.
Yeah, probably should fuck this old producer with the newsboy cap.
You should fuck a producer for your career. No, but you're saying, but you feel like even though you have that, it's icky to capitalize on that? Is that kind of
No, I just have no interest. Like,
you have no interest in capitalizing on that. But, like, that is a natural part of being a woman.
Yeah.
I guess it's just been top of mind because, like, a few experiences have happened recently where I'm just like, why can't it just... Like, just being a woman moving through the industry and, like, not feeling like it can just be about the work. And isn't that, like, something that we've experienced for all of time?
Yeah.
Well, totally. And that kind of is part of the discourse that was induced by the bathwater thing. Because on the one hand, people are like, whatever, if Sydney Sweeney wants to lean into this and sell her bathwater and get her bag or whatever, I guess she can do that. And then on the other hand, people are like, oh, it's kind of like icky, gross that someone who, like, has acting chops, has talent, like, doesn't really need to sell her bathwater. Like, isn't it?
I just wish that it were a self-aware joke. If she made it about, like, look, I know you guys are objectifying me, so this is what I'm going to do for you. That would have been so funny and, like, better for her brand.
Well, so that's the other thing. Yes, people are always, there's always this, like, how much agency does or doesn't she have? What is she doing? What are her intentions? And it's hard to say, like, the bathwater thing, she does an ad for it. And it does kind of have this winking, like, I know that you guys think I'm so sexy, so you can sell my bathwater.
I've,
like,
never seen, that didn't reach me, so
no,
I'm just speculating.
It kind of has that feeling to it. But in this world where she kind of accepts every ad and every collab, it's always hard to really tell what her deal is.
Yeah, because if she was more discerning about what ads she's taking and she took maybe all that were beauty, because again, Laneige, Keratrice, those are like higher end or mid end beauty products for women. So she was doing this strategy where she was very discerning and very picky about things. And then her one departure from that is like, I know you're sexualizing me, buy my bathwater. Then it could be like, okay, yeah, she's making it subversive. She's whatever. But it's because she says yes to everything. She says yes to shoes, this, that, dunk it, like everything.
Well, so that's what I was going to say. She also has a Baskin-Robbins flavor that was just released. She's got Sydney's signature scoop, which is a rainbow sherbet and a chocolate-dipped waffle cone topped with rainbow sprinkles and gummy bears.
That's disgusting.
Cool. Yeah, that's not...
I'm not like chocolate and gummy bears. I'm like, yuck.
That's a lot. That's a lot for me. But that's the thing. Is like, yeah, so it's like she's selling her bathwater. She's selling you face cream. She's got a Baskin-Robbins flavor. Yeah. She's maybe MAGA. We don't know. It's like... And she doesn't really answer questions around any of that. So,
That's a lot of brand deals.
I know.
I didn't realize she had all that.
She has a lot.
Yeah. So... She's taking every brand deal. She's doing a ton of projects. I mean, she's an A-list celebrity in many ways.
She was at the Bezos wedding.
She was at the Bezos wedding, exactly. And everyone was like, wait, so who's Sydney Sweeney's friends with? And it's like, she's just famous.
Yeah.
Like, I kept seeing things where people were like, why is this person at the Bezos wedding? And I'm like, because they're famous. And famous people were invited.
Yeah.
It's not about who their friends are. With, like, that's not what this is. Anyway. That brings us to July 23rd, when Sydney Sweeney stars in this ad for American Eagle. And we can watch the ad now.
Genes are passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair color, personality, and even eye color. My genes are blue.
Sydney Sweeney has her genes.
So that's it. It's kind of crazy when you, like, think about all the controversy that to realize that it's, like, a 45-second long
It's not even
ad.
45 seconds. I think it's, like, 10.
It was 15.
Yeah, 15. Okay, I have my glasses on. I'm far away from the screen, but I don't know what seconds are. But anyway, it's very, very short. American Eagle does not have this on its official channels anymore, but The Sydney Sweeney Stan Twitter account that we just played it from had 30 million views. 80 million. See, I don't even know numbers. My glasses are need to be cleaned. Either way, what are your reactions to the ad?
God, why is her voice so...
It's tough.
That's like my least favorite kind of white girl voice.
Okay. I think that what people are upset about that is really weird is talking about jeans and the jean pun, which is weird. And it's also like, it's not even in a good position to show off. It's not about the jeans, right? It's more about her face.
Yeah.
And like it's zooming into her face. It's, you know, it's all the things that you're about to cover. But I'm just also like, it's just not a great ad for jeans. Like you want to see the jeans up and moving or like how good they're, whatever, the inseam and stuff like.
Yeah, well, I feel like a lot of people are comparing it to the Brooke Shields Calvin Klein ad from the 80s where she's like, nothing comes between me and my Calvins. And she's like 15 years old. It's like really fucking weird. But in that ad, the jeans are clinging to her because, again, it's like she's the pun is that she doesn't wear underwear with her jeans. But it is her like stretching to put them on and like doing all of this different stuff that kind of shows the jeans on her body. And this, we like pan up and see the jeans for a second, but you really don't see the jeans. There are other parts of the campaign where you do see the jeans and they don't look great on her. So that's I think that's just a big problem for American Eagle in general, which is like, why don't the jeans look good on her?
Yeah, I've never thought of American Eagle's jeans. And I am curious what this is going to do to their brand.
Well, we definitely will get into that. So, okay. This ad comes out on the 23rd. People immediately have a big reaction to this. Discourse is induced. First, primarily, people are like, there's like weird shades of eugenics in this, which is like race science that prioritizes white features and
Aryan,
people. Yeah, exactly.
Blue eyes. Yeah.
Her saying like my jeans are blue, they're passed down from parents, whatever. It's like, I mean, that's very obviously the thing that they're playing with in the ad, which is just funny because later we'll get to people who are like, it's just about jeans. And I'm like, yeah, but the whole point of the ad is that it's a pun on jeans versus like genetic gene. Like, what do you mean?
When people say stuff like that, it's not that deep. It's like, you're just susceptible to anything.
Yeah.
But your grandmother doesn't pass her genes down to you.
Yeah. Like, I know.
Also, like, I'm sorry. And maybe this is because I'm a plus size person. But American Eagle jeans aren't good. Like, they're like
they're really
cheaper.
Thin. Yeah.
They're really thin. My thighs will rub and I get like something like Levi's where they're heavy duty, actually made of denim. That's not the reputation that American Eagle has. You don't pass them down from generation to generation.
Yeah.
It's kind of elevated fast fashion, which is why it's even funnier that they're like passing on from generation to generation. I'm like, I don't think I could pass down jeans from 10 years ago. I used to shop exclusively at American Eagle.
Yeah, that's not a
10
thing.
Years
no
ago.
No one passes
and
down
all of that
jeans.
Shit is down. Not from them.
My grandparents grew up in poverty in Singapore. They didn't own no denim. Like, yeah. There's no chance I'm inheriting any jeans.
Well,
yeah. Well, I'm like, American Eagle jeans don't pass down from wash to wash. Like, exactly. Let's be real.
Because there's an argument of like clothing made back in the day was like better quality and they're using real natural fibers and stuff. But like, not American Eagle. That shit is all spandex.
Yeah.
That shit is all spandex.
Okay, so people have the eugenics conversation. People are like, this is kind of a creepy indicator of like the way DEI has been like pulled back on. And people, it's like this weird Trump era cultural backlash that we're seeing where like this type of shit is in again. Comparing it to ads like 2 or even 3 to 5 years ago where it's like they're trying to feature more body diversity, where they were trying to show different skin tones, differently abled people. We're showing up in ads and now it's like, no, we're going back to big titty blonde girls saying like, look at my blue eyes. People are like, that's culturally interesting. Talking about that it's reminiscent of the Brooke Shields Calvin Klein campaign, which is kind of dark because Brooke Shields is a minor in that campaign. And then kind of a general question about like, does Sydney Sweeney have the best reps ever for getting her involved in this? Or are they the worst reps ever? So I'll put that question to you guys. Reps being like her manager, her agent, the people who are getting her these deals.
Yeah, it's like, is it good for her brand because she's inducing discourse? Or is it bad for her brand because she's inducing this kind of discourse?
It comes down to, like, what does Sydney Sweeney want? It seems like what she wants is attention and to be making money and to be at the center of whatever. So if that's the case, I mean, she's never gotten more attention than now. Everybody's talking about this. I saw when I was researching this, there was an article in every major news publication that exists talking about it. So if that's what she wants, she got it.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of the ethos of the Republican Party and all this stuff that, like, people are talking about. It's like, not like every single person, but a lot of them are like, I don't care what damage this does to me, as long as you're upset and you're pissed off. Like, that's kind of the scent, you know? So it's like, yeah, well, you pissed a lot of people off. People are uncomfortable and you got a lot of attention. But what is the long-term effects of your brand? You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And like, will people who are making prestige projects want to work with you or feel safe with you or this and that? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it is. She produces her own stuff. So maybe she's just not counting on needing other people to like put her in shit, or she's counting on Hollywood to be the way Hollywood is and for them to be like, well, she's really famous and hot and we don't care that she did the weird eugenics ad, which is like, I don't know. Where do you come down, do you think? Good reps, bad reps?
I mean, I have reps, and it's like it ultimately is up to the artist to decide where they want to put their time and attention.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting that she's trying to angle herself as, I don't have that much money, and so I do this because I have to. I don't know what her financial situation is, and I don't want to be presumptuous, but like, I don't have a ton of money, and I'm like saying no to stuff because that just doesn't feel... doesn't feel aligned. Like sometimes, like I get offers for stuff and it just feels icky. Like the one thing that I did do a few months ago that was the biggest paycheck I've ever gotten for a brand deal was it was a Chinese laser hair removal company.
Hell yeah.
And they wanted me to do a video on like, guys, check this out. Like, this is how you can do it at home. And like, well, as soon as I posted it, I posted a close friend story that was like, guys, I'm so sorry. I have to get that bag.
Yeah.
And like, that's
and
fine.
People responded and they were like, get that bag.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that people are judging me for doing it, but I still don't love doing it because it just feels like my energy could be better put elsewhere.
Yeah.
And even if I'm making less money doing my shows and like doing like working on my craft, I mean, it feels like very earnest and hoity-toity, but like I just don't like doing it that much.
Yeah.
So you're like kind of questioning her judgment because, well, it's like, this is the kind of stuff, like, again, it's a thin line because you don't want to pocket watch and be like, but I'm also like, Sydney, you don't have to take everything.
Yeah,
like,
you can't what say is everything.
Your, yeah. I'm like, yeah. What is your lifestyle then if you have to say yes to every single thing?
Like, I'm making my ends meet. I'm not a millionaire, but like, I imagine that she could make her ends meet without doing that.
Exactly. So it's like
draw the line at eugenics if you wanted, Sydney Sweeney. Like, I think you could have been like, hey, I'll do the jeans ad, but maybe we shouldn't do all this weird, like, white supremacy language. Well, like,
but
I don't know.
It's true, though, that, like, I think we're in a culture of, like, rage bait. And there's currency and attention, no matter what kind of attention it is. And so I wonder if the person who wrote that copy is, like, actually kind of happy with himself that there's so much attention being put now on American Eagle, for better and for worse.
Yeah, I personally come down on the side of, like, they
it.
Had, yeah, like, they, Go Touch Grass is talking about it, which is what they wanted.
Which is what they wanted
all
along.
Which is what all of
they
this
wanted
was,
our that five
was
million.
Specifically what they wanted.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But yeah, I'm like, they had to know when they did this that it was going to cause this level of discourse. And I do just want to say, shout out to myself, that this week I will be posting Spawn that I got hired to do for a sex toy company. So if everyone
get
sees
that,
I'm getting my bag.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's not about being anti-Spawn. It's not about being anything because, you know, it's about what is the Spawn saying? What is the sponsored content saying? How is that elevating your brand? Like, it has to be a balance between, you know, doing sponsored content, which is really just your fans trust you.
Yeah.
They want you to use your influence to get people to buy stuff. So it's like, is the stuff that you want people to buy things you believe in?
Yeah.
Is the laser hair removal work? The sex toy, we'll see. But
I got all the stuff in the mail today, so I'll let you guys know. Yeah. I actually agreed to the spawn without trying the products first. That's on my ethics.
Yeah, but but you know what the product does, and you know the stigma behind the product.
Yeah, it sucks your clit off.
Yeah, well, I mean, and hey, but I'm saying, right, like, there's nothing wrong with doing sponsored content. Like, everyone's kind of aligned, and that's why she wasn't canceled for doing content. She's canceled for doing content that evokes
white supremacy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being sexy.
Don't apologize for making Spawn YouTube.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah,
part of the game.
It's part of the game. Okay, you brought up the Republican Party. We've been talking about the Republican Party in general. So the ad goes viral. People are like, hey, there's some really fucking weird implications to this ad. So then now defending Sydney Sweeney has become like a mainstream Republican talking point. They say that the backlash to this ad is an example of liberals being crazy and insane. Okay. Because we know that Republicans never overreact to ads that have like maybe a single trans person in them. Like, they're not going to buy a gun and shoot up a bunch of Bud Light cans just because Dylan Mulvaney did one video. That would never happen.
They burn Jersey. Like, these, like, please.
Exactly.
Like, have several seats.
So unfortunately, to summarize this viewpoint, I do have to show a video of Vice President J.D. Vance. We are unfortunately going to have to look at J.D. Vance for just a couple seconds right now. Ugh. I hate to do this to you as our guest,
Charlene. Do I have to put on my headphones?
Yeah,
you do. Sorry.
Yeah, you unfortunately do for J.D. Vance.
Yeah, my political advice to the Democrats is continue to tell everybody who thinks Sydney Sweeney is attractive is a Nazi. that appears to be their actual strategy. I mean, it actually reveals something pretty interesting about the Dems, though, which is that you have like a normal all-American beautiful girl doing like a normal jeans ad, right? They're trying to sell jeans to kids in America, and they have managed to so unhinge themselves over this thing. And it's like, you guys, did you learn nothing from the November 2024 election? Like, I actually thought that one of the lessons they might take is we're going to be less crazy. Yeah. The lesson they have apparently taken is we're going to attack people as Nazis for thinking Sydney Sweeney is beautiful. Great strategy, guys. That's how you're going to win the midterm.
Yeah, J.D. Vance went on a podcast, Vice President of the United States. He's talking about this bullshit. Their opinion is basically like, oh, so now we're Nazis for thinking Sydney Sweeney is hot? And it's like, again, no one's mad about the spawn. No one's mad that she's hot. People are mad that you are talking about her genetics as being superior genetics.
I'm sure Usha Vance is a little mad that J.D. Vance has to... Her vice president husband's on a podcast talking about how hot a 27-year-old when your Indian wife is at home with your non-blue-eyed babies, J.D. Vance.
I mean...
I'm sure Usha's a little pissed.
I think the internal world of Usha Vance is something that I can't possibly...
Yeah, we don't have time.
Let's go there. Yeah.
I can't possibly parse out how she does what she does.
You're right.
And by that, I mean J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz also tweeted,
oh,
wow,
God.
Now the crazy left has come out against beautiful women. I'm sure that will pull well. And I do just want to say, if Ted Cruz ever tweeted anything that implied he found me beautiful, I would cut my face off. I would be like, not anymore.
The crazy left's against beautiful women. That's what I'll say when people come at me.
Wow,
the crazy left is against
beautiful women. and we see it all the time in our YouTube comments. The right is against beautiful women. The crazy left
is the new basket of deplorables.
The crazy left is against beautiful women. So, okay, Charlene, one point you were like, we'll see how this turns out for American Eagle. So this is what we know so far about the ad. So the ad has been removed from all their public profiles. That's why I had to play it from a Sydney Sweeney stan account. From July 24th, which is the day after the ad aired, to the 29th, their stock soared 10% and they added $200 million in market value.
Oh, God.
So now, they're riding high on the attention. Who knows? Again, it's like, okay, but does that actually translate to more people wanting to buy American Eagle jeans. Like, what is the longevity of that? It's hard to say. On August 2nd, they posted this statement to Instagram. It just says, Sydney Sweeney has great jeans, is and always was about the jeans, her story. We'll continue to celebrate how everyone wears their AE jeans with confidence their way. Great jeans look good on everyone. So, I mean, that doesn't really...
I would love to read that comment section.
Oh, their comments are brutal. They might be... They've got comments on.
I'm brave. Because I would assume they would put the comments off.
But the thing... And that
they want more attention.
Exactly. That's what it comes down to, is like, they knew from the jump that this ad was going to get that type of attention. They knew the fact that Sydney Sweeney was in it was going to get that type of attention. The fact that she has this kind of like MAGA coding on her is going to get that attention. Because she also will like release videos of herself like at a shooting range, like shooting guns and stuff. Like,
and she likes some fixing up American cars. Her hobbies are
MAGA. Republican coded. Yeah. Exactly. So she like plays with that. They knew the entire time that she was going to do this. And my other feeling with Sydney Sweeney herself is that I'm like, I don't think that she has a personal ethos at all. Like, yeah, she'll work on feminist projects. She'll do a white supremacy ad. Like, she doesn't, she's guided by what is going to get attention and be on TV, it seems. And so, as a result of this, though, people started to look into Sydney Sweeney more. And it has since come out that she registered as a Republican in Florida on July 14th, 2024. So she like bought a mansion in the Keys, I guess. I'm like, Sydney's in the Keys. I haven't seen her, but she bought a mansion in the Keys. She registered Republican ahead of the 2024 election. So we can only assume she did that to vote for Donald Trump in Florida. Cool. Donald Trump has since been asked about the ad and he tweeted that it is fantastic. And I actually did. He was asked in person about the ad and he said that it was fantastic. And then he has a Truth Social post that I saw as I was walking here. Yeah. So it's not in the doc, but I am going to read Donald Trump's Truth Social post and then we can move on.
Isn't it great? Like, there's nothing else going on in the world that are... And I mean, I guess this is the whole point, right? Is that Republicans are failing miserably at almost, like, a lot of things. The tariff thing is not going as well as... It's not going poorly, but it's not going as well, at least with, you know, major trading partners. People are pissed. They can't afford things. All this stuff. And our president
is tweeting.
Truthing about a jeans ad by a 27-year-old. This guy's like in his 80s. Yeah. When bad grandkids older or the same age as Sydney Sweeney.
And how old is Kai Trump?
I think Kai's 24. How old is
Kai? I don't know.
Or maybe she's 19.
Yeah, she might be younger.
Elise here, popping in to say, I Googled it, and Kai Trump is 18 years old. God bless her, everyone. Back to the episode.
This is from Donald J. Trump. Sydney Sweeney, spelled wrong, a registered Republican, has the hottest ad out there. It's for American Eagle, and the jeans are flying off the shelves. He's spelling Sydney wrong every time. Go get him, Sydney. On the other side of the ledger, Jaguar did a stupid and seriously woke advertisement. That is a disaster. The CEO just resigned. The company's in turmoil. Shouldn't they have learned a lesson from Bud Light, which went woke and essentially destroyed in a short but very woke campaign? The company? The market cap destruction has been unprecedented. Billions of dollars lost. Or just look at woke singer Taylor Swift. Ever since I alerted the world as to what she was by saying on Truth that I can't stand her. That's the end of the post. So just crazy.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, cool. So Donald Trump thinks the jeans are cool. Who's their target demo? Have we ever seen Donald Trump wear jeans? Like, who's the target demo?
I don't want to.
It's like the target demo is young women. And unfortunately, and I guess this is one of the big parts, young women are not unfortunately. Young women in America tend to skew more liberal, more left, like just period, point blank in any demographic. Even white women, well, white women might be like 51 or 55, 53, but still like a big part of these women are right leaning, left leaning. So if you're making this statement towards that is kind of like anti the people who you want buying your jeans, like you're like kind of making your potential buyers even smaller.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting to like have an ad like this that appeals so much to men when it's like ultimately you do want women to buy the jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I'm going to buy jeans because like of J.D. Vance or Ted Cruz
or Donald Trump. I'm like, oh, Donald Trump said these jeans are good. I'm going to buy them.
Okay. Final thoughts on Sydney Sweeney.
I think you guys covered it.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to move on now to a segment we call Cursed Content. This is a segment where we discuss content that is cursed, bad, troubling, teaches us something bad about the world. And I actually want to rephrase it for today's episode that I'm calling it accursed content, because this is actually dealing with the paranormal.
Yeah.
Normally cursed content is like just a video that makes us like cringe kind of.
The woman that found blood in her Shein.
Stuff that's disturbing.
Vials of blood.
Yeah. This is, this actually has paranormal implications.
Yeah.
What we're talking about here. Comedian Matt Rife.
Already cursed.
We're starting off cursed. Comedian Matt Rife has purchased the Ed and Lorraine Warren House and Paranormal Museum, which means he is now the, quote, legal guardian of the Annabelle doll.
Hey, guys. Super random but incredible announcement. I have just bought the Ed and Lorraine Warren's home and occult museum with my very good friend Elton Castay. If you guys have ever seen any of the Conjuring films, the Annabelle films, or even Amityville Horror, this is the home that inspired all of those stories. This might be the most important and prominent piece of paranormal history in the world. Ed and Lorraine Warren are who took demonology and ghost hunting and paranormal investigation and made it mainstream. Now, I know a lot of you guys don't know what any of this means whatsoever, but if you follow ghost stuff, this is about as big as it gets. So what does this all mean? It means that Elton Castay and myself are the owners of the physical Ed and Lorraine Warren's home and occult museum. We are the legal guardians and caretakers of all 750 haunted artifacts and items in the Warren Museum, including the Annabelle doll. I must go on record and say we do not legally own the items, but we are the legal guardians and caretakers of the items for at least the next 5 years.
I don't know if I know what the Annabelle doll is.
I've got the info.
Give us the info.
So the Annabelle doll is a supposedly haunted Raggedy Ann doll that became famous through the paranormal investigations of Ed and Lorraine Warren. So, okay, are you guys familiar with like the Conjuring movies? Like, have you heard of them?
I've heard of them, but I hate scary movies. So,
okay. The Conjuring movies, the entire franchise is basically based on this, like, couple. They're demonologists, and they go around and they fight ghosts. And that couple is a real couple, and these are all the Conjuring movies are supposedly based on their real exploits, quote-unquote, you know. Incorporate that into your worldview as you will. But that's the premise of the Conjuring movies, is that it's like there's a real couple called Ed and Lorraine Warren. They're demonologists. They fight ghosts. The movie's about the ghosts they fight. And Annabelle is a doll that exists in that universe. She's a scary doll. She's haunted. She's a demon. She's really bad. You don't want to get on her bad side. She will kill you. The Warrens claim the doll was possessed by a demonic spirit pretending to be a young girl. They ultimately locked it in a glass case in their occult museum in Connecticut for safekeeping. Matt Rife has now purchased the occult museum. Comedian Matt Rife, who, for anyone who doesn't remember, is a 29-year-old stand-up who got famous for doing viral TikTok crowd work videos and then was canceled, if to whatever extent cancel culture actually exists, for backlash to his Netflix special where he did sexist and ableist jokes. He's the type of guy who does a tour and calls it problematic and then is like, why is everyone calling me problematic? That's his vibe.
Oh, because his name is Matt.
Yeah, so the Matt is spelled. And,
sorry, yeah, the Matt is spelled in it. And also, remember, he, we talked about him because he says he doesn't like outy vaginas.
Yeah.
Somebody was sleeping, that he was sleeping with said, wait, I have an outy vagina. So
That was Brooke Schofield.
So it's like, he shouldn't be around women, young women, the animal.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, I don't think it's good that I wanted to take a moment before we move on to Grassl of the Week to just say, I'm against Matt Rife having the Annabelle doll. Yeah. I don't think it's safe for him to be in possession of a cursed doll. I don't think comedians should be wielding cursed artifacts at all. I think we should just stick to the stage. Mm. And I feel that, I don't know, I think Connecticut has a good senator. I think it should be removed from his custody. I don't think that he should be Annabelle's legal guardian.
Any thoughts?
No, you guys covered it.
Charlene, no thoughts.
I don't care about Matt Rife.
I don't care about him. I do care that he's now in possession of this haunted doll. I don't think it's safe.
The haunted doll is crazy. But I'm like, did he say why? Is it like because he likes scary movies?
So he basically says at the end of the video that he makes that he and his friend who purchased the house are like, now you're going to be able to like sleep at the occult museum and like pay Matt Rife to sleep in the haunted house.
Oh, she's going to turn into a hotel?
Yeah. So you can like go to the museum and sleep there. He also makes it very clear that like he doesn't own Annabelle. He just refers to himself as her legal guardian, which I don't love.
Oh, that's weird. It's interesting because when I go to a haunted place, I'm like, I want to sleep here. I want to spend the night in this place.
See,
overnight.
I'm not like a hard believer in ghosts or non-believers, but I am a believer in me not tempting fate with that. Mm. And so I'm not sleeping at a haunted house. I'm not going to be around a haunted doll because if it is real, I don't want to be dealing with that.
That's
I don't want to be the one who gets haunted.
Yeah, that's
true. I don't want Annabelle to kill me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's crazy.
It's crazy. I just wanted to acknowledge that that's going on so that people know. Have your head on a swivel. Matt Rife owns the Annabelle doll. Things are getting really serious.
Things are getting really serious. And our Grasshole is someone else who things are getting serious for. Grasshole, we have our segment. It's Grasshole of the Week, where we nominate one person who needs to log off the most. who needs to log off, go touch grass, as we say, and reconnect with humanity. And this week, our Grasshole is a man by the name of Joey Swole. Do you know Joey Swole? Tough Knuckles?
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. It's just reminding me of some of the different people that we've been introduced to in this segment. I don't know anything about Joey Swole.
Well, we'll put a pin in Joey Swole because the story really starts when Hulk Hogan dies.
Right.
Hulk Hogan. So Hulk Hogan was Hulk Hogan recently passed away from cardiac arrest at his Florida home last week. And for those who don't know who Hulk Hogan is, he's a wrestler. And quote, this is from an article titled Hulk Hogan's Legacy is Terrible. And it said Hulk Hogan is, quote, a self-admitted racist who was caught on tape using the N-word freely on multiple occasions, also dreading the idea that his son's arrest could mean that the two could be reincarnated as black men.
What?
We'll get to that comment a little bit more. But so he in private had a tape leaked about him where you say complaining about his daughter dating black men. And also that his son is in jail and like they could die and be reincarnated as black men.
That's the last bit, that one I wasn't aware of. I knew he said the N-word bunch. I knew he was mad that Brooke could potentially be dating black guys. I didn't realize that he has this reincarnation related
racist thing. He also off camera, even before like all of this, aside from being racist, he also basically like a lot of wrestlers tried to unionize, which is very important because they get CTE and they get their bodies fucked up. They don't have insurance. They're independent contractors to this day. And Hulk Hogan would turn in the wrestlers and snitch on them and be a scab and snitch on the Federation and get those guys fired. And he admitted it. Like that he's like,
cool,
you know, so cool. He also would use his powers that basically like any wrestler, he would also stop like other wrestlers from, you know, getting more hype than him and kind of use his power. So he's like an all around dick. So, okay. It got so bad that he was eliminated from the WWE's alumni pages and his appearances and legend for the company was stripped. Of course, they welcome back because WWE is owned by a bunch of Republicans and racists, so they don't care. But he went on, he did an apology, no one liked it, and like His final appearance was in January on Monday Night Raw, and he was booed out of the building. So I don't know if it was like part of his bit or like people hate him. His daughter hates him. We talked about her recently because she's basically estranged from him because she said her parents, again, are racist, but also abusive. Like they, you know, so not even his own daughter fucks with him. So let's go back to Joey Swole. Joey Swole, our grassholm, he has 5.4 million followers on Instagram, 2.2 million followers on Facebook, and 8.1 million followers on TikTok.
Ooh.
Joey Swole, his whole social media brand, he's like a gym guy. He's really buff, but he has his whole brand is making fun of, quote, gym bullies, calling out gym bullies. So if there's somebody who posts a video of themselves, like making fun of somebody's like form or something in the gym, he'll be like, he'll focus and he'll be like, this is fucked up. And then he'll get them doxxed. And then, so it's kind of like righteously calling people out. So again, there was this video of these guys who like were posing, but really like showing a guy changing in the locker room, you know, like, and he's like, don't fucking have your camera out in the locker room.
Yeah.
There's a woman that's making fun of another woman squatting. And the woman's like rolling her eyes at this, you know, then he's like, don't make fun of somebody. Help them. You know, that's
so
his whole
like
brand.
He's like a gym vigilante.
That's his brand. And he posted this photo last week. RIP to legend and one of my inspirations to start working out. Prayer hands, heart, at Hulk Hogan. Elise, what do we see here?
We see a man I'm assuming is Joey Swole, dressed as Hulk Hogan. It's just a classic Hulk Hogan look.
Yeah.
We all know what a Hulk Hogan costume looks like. He's wearing one.
Yes. So the gym vigilante posted a video of him working out as Hulk Hogan, saying RIP to one of my inspirations. People were pissed. They're like, what the fuck? And he was on a TikTok live pushing products. And this is what he had to say in regards to people being upset that he was promoting Hulk Hogan.
Listen, I can post Hulk Hogan if I want to. Just because somebody makes a mistake in their life doesn't mean that they haven't done good things. I don't know what he did, and he said something 20 years ago and apologized for it. If you're going to attack me, you better go after the colored athletes and the people that are black and minority that went and posted him as well.
Oh.
Okay, the man was nice to me. He made a mistake. I'm not God. People make mistakes in life. If you got a problem with that, look at yourself. There's not one single person in here that hasn't made a mistake in their life.
Ew.
Okay, so what do we think about that?
I hate that with everything I have.
Wow, we had some old school language.
Yeah, mm-hmm. What was the language that you heard?
You know.
Colored, yes, yeah, colored. I mean, that's not, you know, but it's weird.
I know, but I am like, yeah, there's something off.
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't. I'm like, was he confused about the term people of color?
Well,
doesn't sound like he was confused.
No, I think you're right. I think that you're right. He seems spot on. I also was just like, when he's like, what, he said something 20 years ago? It's like, no. And also, the stuff he said was pretty intense.
And that was actually to the day that he died, ironically, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That tape was released in 2015.
And he was a fully grown man. It's not like, because I feel like sometimes when people say like, what, he said it 20 years ago, it's like, okay, and if he was maybe like a teenager 20 years ago, it would be different. But he was an adult man talking to his grown children.
Yeah.
He also said the N-word a bunch of times and a bunch of other racist stuff.
So, guys, people didn't like that. So people didn't like that. And Joey then posted this apology.
I owe my followers, my community, and all of social media an apology. A few days ago, I reposted an old video of me in the gym wearing a Hulk Hogan Halloween costume on the day that he passed. Last night in my live stream, a lot of people expressed how upset and frustrated they were with me that I had posted that. Instead of listening and understanding like I should have, I became defensive and said that I was posting to celebrate the wrestling icon, the person that so many of us looked up to as kids that we grew up with, that made us tear our shirts and take our vitamins and say our prayers. I didn't know to the extent of all the horrible things that he had done. Since last night, I have done a lot of research, talked to a few people, and learned all of the horrible, horrible things that man has done. which is way more than just making a mistake and being human. So because of that, I have taken the videos down and I apologize to anybody that I offended. I am sorry. Also, during last night's live stream, I used the word colored instead of saying person of color, which is a very outdated, very offensive term. A few moments later, somebody educated me and told me that it wasn't okay to use that, which I immediately apologized to everyone and said I would never do that again. So once again, to anybody that I offended, I am sorry. You know, my whole page, my whole brand is based on holding people accountable and doing better. I would be a hypocrite if I didn't hold myself to the same standards. I am human. I am still growing. I am still learning. And I promise all of you, I will do better. I have nothing but love and kindness in my heart. I will continue to try to make the world a better place. And once again, to everybody, I apologize.
I mean, here's my feeling. If I'm doing a live and a bunch of people are like, Elise, like the person you just posted yourself dressed as is problematic. Like if I'm getting that a bunch, my personal thing is that I would be like, hey, I'm seeing this. I don't know what you guys are referring to, but let me look into it. I wouldn't be like, what? He said something 20 years ago. Like he emphatically defended him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, after this video, because, okay, so far, right, we have a guy who has good intentions, posted Hulk Hogan. People were pissed. He said the colored thing, which wasn't great, but he apologized.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could see a dumb person getting those words mixed up. I just am like, the weird, he was so, like, aggressive in the defense of Hulk Hogan ahead of that, that's where I'm like, I don't know if I trust you, Joey Swole.
Well, Elise, your instincts are right because he still wasn't getting like the great response. So he posted this. All the good I've done, all the people I've helped, all for nothing. I truly hope all the people I've inspired do great things in their life and pay it forward to help others and carry on my message. But no matter how much good you do, people just wait for a reason to hate you and tear you down. You either die a hero or live long enough to be the villain. Thank you for your support. I'm done. Then he announced, he said, I'm taking a break from social media.
Okay.
I'm taking a break from social media.
He needs to go touch some grass.
He needs to go touch some grass. But guys, the break lasted 4 days because 4 days later he posted this.
Oh my God.
Don't you wish we had someone to call out bullies at the gym?
We do. Me. Love me or hate me, I am not going anywhere and you are not going to cancel me. I just needed a few days to step back, to breathe, to get my mind right. And over those few days, I received thousands and thousands of messages from people telling me, do not quit. How much I help and inspire them, including messages giving me a good kick in the ass that I needed to get back up. So I am not quitting and I am done apologizing. I'm going to continue making videos calling out bullies, being a voice for the people that can't defend themselves, and making the gym community and the world a better place as I have done for years, starting with this video right here.
Oh God.
Then he goes on and continues to call out the woman from the beginning of the video, which I don't know if you heard, but saw he took a video that another woman posted. I was making fun of someone else, you know, basically went back to form. So really quickly, thoughts before we wrap the episode on Joey Swole, his brand, his shout out to Hulk Hogan, his double down, his apology, his take back of the apology, then his I'm not going anywhere, you will not cancel me.
Men are not okay, and I can never get that time back.
No, no, unfortunately. It is very funny to me to say, I am done apologizing after apologizing once.
He apologized once, like literally in one video, he apologized and didn't get the reaction that he wanted. And this all happened in a few days. I'm like, bro, let it sit for a week.
Chill.
Chill. And these people will get over it. Someone else in the gym community, I promise you, I don't know much. I can't promise anything. Someone else in the gym community will do something racist.
Yeah.
Probably in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just wait
it out. Sydney Sweeney will release another ad and you won't have to, like, no one will be talking about you anymore. It's just
another Coldplay kiss cam will happen.
Exactly. Another Coldplay kiss cam will happen. It was between him and the woman who did a blackface labubu, which is.
I'm sorry, blackface labubu. Blackface, just like
a woman is doing blackface labubu. Joey Swole. This is a minor blip. You shouldn't have freaked out about it.
Yeah.
These are the times we're living in.
These are the times you would have just waited. Mm-hmm. You would have just waited for the woman, the labubu influencer, mm-hmm. who made one into a black-faced
stream. That should be the title of this episode.
Black-faced labubu.
And then it's not about that.
We don't talk about it.
We just did.
Well, I would say it should be called Charlene K's bathwater.
Charlene K's bathwater bliss.
So Joey Swole, mm-hmm. for the crime of celebrating Hulk Hogan's life, not taking it back, calling people colored, apologizing, then unapologizing, then saying you will not be canceled. I'm sorry, Joey Swole, with the best and greatest intentions. This might even be a little loving.
Yeah, a little bit lovingly.
Joey Swole, go touch grass.
And that's our episode. Charlene, it was lovely to have you here. Why don't you tell everyone, if they want to go touch grass by coming to see you live, how they can do that, where they can get your bath water.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Find you, follow you, et cetera.
I'm saying you should add it to your merch.
That's a great idea. You can find me Instagram.com/CharleneKaye.
Beautiful.
It's the best place to get updates. My website isn't very good, so advertise that.
Well, you don't have the countdown from how many days since the Coldplay kiss camp, which we are going to be adding.
Yeah. We are. And you can find us at GoTouchGrassPod.com.
GoTouchGrassPodcast.com.
GoTouchGrassPodcast.com. You can find us at GoTouchGrassPod on any social media platform. Mm-hmm. You can find me at Millie_Tamarez on Instagram and TikTok, and at Millie Tamarez on Twitter.
And you can find me at Pandalise on Instagram and Elise Navidad on TikTok. And until next time,
Go Touch Grass!
Go Touch Grass is created and hosted by Elise Morales and Millie Tamarez.
Recording and sound production by My Friend's Basement Studio. And our theme song is by Doug Weidick.